Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Aaron Wilson has just reported another request of an interview for the Texans offensive coordinator job. Battery check, too, giving us a heads up on the Twitch. Aaron Wilson, Texans have requested an interview with Commanders assistant head coach and offensive pass game coordinator Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson, Baytown native, played for the Baytown Lee. What do they call the Ganders? The Ganders, right? He and Drew Tate. The best things to come out of
so
Baytown.
So we can have a Baytown baddie as our offense coordinator?
Yeah. Top two quarterbacks in Baytown history are Drew Tate and Brian Johnson.
Facts.
Facts. Those are facts.
Do those guys fumbled away an SEC championship?
Your words, not mine. But good words. Funny words. He was also Brian Johnson, a Utah quarterback. Also graced the cover of NCAA once upon a time. I can't remember the year.
That must have been way long ago. I don't remember that at all.
He did, yeah. He graced the cover. Maybe like 02, 03, maybe? Former offense coordinator of Philadelphia, who got fired after a year. Former offense coordinator at the University of Houston. I think that Brian Johnson would be a disastrous hire. If the Texans hire Brian Johnson as the offensive coordinator, I will be very mad at the Houston Texans.
Why?
Because I think he stinks.
Okay, but is that...
It's a pretty good reason, I would say.
But I mean, because his back... Is that because of the fact that he's not from the same kind of experience?
No, it's because I think he was bad at Houston, and I think he was awful in Philadelphia.
Well, I mean, if you had any crossing of paths with him at Houston, you'd know better than most, so... That's totally legit. I was just trying to go back to our conversation last segment to try and say, well, here's another guy that doesn't have experience.
No, he does. He does have experience. He called plays for a year in Philly. He's called plays in college. He has experience calling plays.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm out on that. I am out. If Brian, no. Of all the candidates that they have interviewed, this would be the one I have dead last on my list. I think they would really, really be a disaster if they hired him. I'm being dead serious here.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think it would be a disastrous hire. 713-780-ESB. I hate that they're even interviewing him. Like, it kind of scares me that they're even interviewing him, quite frankly. It's like, what led you to do that? Like, what do you see? Like, what do you see there you feel the need that you need to target him? Or maybe not target him, but at least talk to him. I don't see the rationale there. I think it's a bad look, even though they're requesting an interview, quite frankly. Like, it makes me wonder a little bit about their evaluation skills to call plays on the offensive side.
I understand what you're saying. And look, the fact that you had him at U of H, you know what he's done, and the fact that, you know, he's not coming from the kind of coaching tree with the guidance of the guys that we know have kind of dictated what offenses are run and how plays are called in the NFL. And, yeah, there's more than just McVay and Shanahan, but those are the two guys that, you know, basically everybody looks to in terms of I'm looking for the next. Well, it would be of those two guys and then the guys that they've groomed that have already had success, like Kevin O'Connell's of the world and others. And if it's not there, then why the hell are you wasting your time other than maybe doing a solid for a guy that like to get on somebody's radar, pro or college, to try and get another OC job? Otherwise, I don't have any understanding why they would even consider this guy.
I hope it's the latter. I really do. Because if it's not the latter, then I'm starting to question their evaluation of play callers. Like, that's how severe I think that is. Like, that really, it kind of breaks my heart a little bit, seeing that. Like, and then also, you could throw the Slowik matter into this, too. Like, if you think Slowik was a bum in year two, wasn't a bad in year one. But if you think he's a bum in year two, well, they hired Slowik, and now they're interviewing Brian Johnson?
I mean, obviously, you were closer to this than Joel and I, but I also don't like it from the aspect of, if you're hiring this guy, you're not hiring the reason why Jaden Daniels, the Commanders' offense, was successful. The reason they were successful outside of, you know, the players on the field was Cliff Kingsbury. I'd rather hire – I want if you're going to hire someone that ran a successful offense, let's hire the guy that was actually in charge of running the successful offense.
Yeah, didn't get fired after a year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He got fired after a year. He got fired after a year in Philadelphia, and you're interviewing him?
What are we doing here? If the idea is like, man, the Commanders had a great year, let's steal from them. This guy wasn't the reason for their success. It was Jaden and Cliff Kingsbury.
Let me make sure I get my years right here. But Philadelphia, who is going to the Super Bowl this year, they're going to the Super Bowl this year, right? Super Bowl? They're going to the Super Bowl? They're going to the Super Bowl. Their play caller is Kellen Moore. Last year, Brian Johnson was their play caller. They won three fewer games than they won this year and the year prior to that. And they got ousted in the wild card round, and Jalen Hurts was frustrated, unhappy with coaches. Brian Johnson was the play caller. What'd they do the year before that? They went to the Super Bowl.
What
are we doing here?
I'm with you on that. I don't like that at all.
I hope it's your point that they're doing him a favor. But at the same time, like, he's not unknown. Like, he's a passing game coordinator for Washington, and he had a really good season with Jaden Daniels. I think he's a really good quarterback coach for what it's worth. I think he's a great quarterback's coach. I don't think he's a play caller.
Well, maybe that's just it. Maybe you've hit on it. Maybe this is they have, whether it be Nick Caley or Chip Kelly or whoever, they have in mind who they want to hire as their OC, and because if he's viewed as, okay, not an OC, but this guy's a great quarterback's coach, maybe they're interviewing him as a step in the process of whoever they actually hire. We'd like to see if this guy'd like to be our quarterback's coach.
Well, he's not going to leave for a lateral move when he's in Washington with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Yeah, like this, it makes me question some things about their process.
Look,
here,
I think he could possibly have been a victim of being the fall guy for the fact that Jalen really didn't like or had issues with Sirianni. But at the same time, we don't know. What we do know is the results on the field were awful. He was the guy that was, by title alone, in charge of everything that didn't work for the Philadelphia Eagles. Is that the kind of guy that I'm clamoring to go get and bring in to run my offense after I had an offense that sputtered? Absolutely not.
Yeah, and I'm also, I mean, there's two stops for me as a play caller that I would also point to. Like, I'd also point to 2017 as the play caller for the Houston Cougars. So, like, there's more than one thing. There's more than one reason I'm saying this. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Texter says, quarterback coach greater than OC. I think he means about Johnson, but I'm not sure. Or maybe he means the quarterback coach is more important than the OC. That can't be the case. 713-780-ESPN. A bunch of people on the Twitch, bunch of people on the YouTube, they're agreeing with you, saying that give me experience. Soriano, agree with Blankers. Experience has to be a factor for this hire. Chris, I agree with Blankers. Texans are in win-now mode. Don't have time for someone with zero experience to get their feet wet. Need someone to come in and immediately take control. I hear that. Totally understand that. I respect that opinion. But if, let's rewind 7 years ago, you were a playoff-caliber team, and you could hire retread Josh McDaniels or Sean McVay, who would you hire? I think we would all say Sean McVay. Now, there's no guarantee he's going to be Sean McVay, but there's also no guarantee that Chip Kelly's going to be good as an offense coordinator. So, like, there's possibilities and no guarantees and all that stuff. Let's go out to the HRP listener line, 713-780-ESPN. Uh-oh, James from Baytown. I hope I didn't trigger somebody. James, you're in the hive of the bees. What's up, James?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I had to correct you on something. So I graduated in 03 from the Baytown League Anders with Drew. And so we graduated in 03. I can promise you Brian was on the cover somewhere around 06, 07, 08 time frame.
Appreciate
but
that.
On a note that matters to y'all's point, look, perspective, I think, is a big deal on the hire, and I like both y'all's points for sure. I just think to defend a Chip Kelly versus a Nick Haley is, I think if you make the Nick Haley hire last year, where we were with no true expectations of being a playoff caliber team, I think it caught a lot of people off guard, and that guy gets to grow with your quarterback and grow with your offense. I think teams, I mean, you talked about who he was offered a job with last year with New England and stuff like that. Well, yeah, okay, there's medium and minimal expectations there. And you're talking about a top eight team in the NFL here now. So that's where you, just like making a first-round draft pick, you may flop on it, but if you flop on it with going with somebody that everybody is telling you that this is the best guy, this is the best fit for your team, blah, 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 and has all those tangibles and has proven that, then I think it's a safe bet to say, hey, and if you blow it, well, geez, you know, we picked the best guy with the best track record who's done it before. Now, you look in 2 years and Nick Haley's leading the best offense in the NFL, but Chip Kelly maybe took you to an AFC championship game, you still can't say you made the wrong choice. Yep, you can look back at it Monday morning quarterback it, but if he got me to the next step and gave me an opportunity to get the Super Bowl, I still think you can look back at that and say we made the right choice at the time. And that's all I got.
Appreciate the call. I think that he meant 2 years ago. Because if you're just clean slate, you got a new quarterback coming in out of college, you don't know, you have no expectations, then you go with someone like this. Because at the end of the day, D'Amico knows better than anybody. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. It's what he thinks. Because the one that's going to pay the price if it doesn't work out is going to be D'Amico. And it's not going to be what everybody else – well, everybody said he was good. Well, do you have a relationship with him? Do you trust him? Do you have enough knowledge of him to know that he's going to do everything that you need done? And if you don't, the answers are no. And you know that your ass is going to be the one that pays for it, not everybody else's. That's where the apprehension should come from.
That, to me, is why you hire the best guy.
But if you don't know him and you don't know what – you know what, everybody might be saying this is the guy. But if I don't know him and I don't know that he's the guy and I don't – you know people that know of him enough to have the kind of data on him to believe, okay, I can go with that, then I got to go with what I know, because at the end of the day, it's my butt on the line.
Right. And if it's your butt on your line, you're going to pick the guy that you think gives you the best chance to win over the next few years. And that might not be the guy who has the most experience. Like, and look, I think that, you know, I think that you're looking a little bit more for like a, not you, because I keep saying you, but I'm talking more about right. The majority of the fan base. Like, that to me, like more stable, like more known commodity, might not have the ceiling, but has a higher floor. I'm going for the ceiling, because I think that you have to be elite in a lot of areas to reach the mountaintop. I think you have to be elite. I really do. A bunch of different spots. And like, a lot of people are talking about the experience and stuff like that. Well, if you were going experience, you would have never hired D'Amico Ryans. And I think a lot of people are happy with what D'Amico Ryans has done as a Houston Texan head coach. 713-780-ESPN. Roy's on the line. We'll get to him on the other side. A lot of people weighing in on the HRP listener line. 713-780-3776. It is the Bees. ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. Texans offensive coordinator Moose. Laser interviewing today. Kaylee interviewing today. Brian Johnson has been requested. Maybe this isn't going to be close of business Friday. Maybe it's going to drag on a little bit longer, which is fun. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Roy, you're in the Hive. What's up, Roy?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
What's up, man?
Good.
I have a question. See, my thing about why I feel that Chip Kelly should be, you know, our offensive coordinator, he done been on both sides. He done been on the West Coast with the West Coast offense. He's been on the East Coast with our offense. And he has a plethora of ideas that he can do. He played, I mean, he coached with the Oregon Ducks. And you know a duck out of water is fast. So when you look at that, when they got Bobby Slowick, it was like a carburetor. Nobody didn't know nothing. You know, it starts real good. The second year, it starts to sput out. You know, and it starts every time you got a pat on the pedal for it to go forward to get some motion. You know, with Chip Kelly, you're looking at a fuel injection. He's going to take this offense fast like it needs to go. We don't need no more carburetor. And D'Amico brought him in. He gave him a shot. He did it good for the first year. Second year, he came in. It's that carburetor. It was, you still had to pat on the gas to make it go the way you want it to go. Now, with Chip Kelly, there's no more patting on the gas. When you pat that gas, you're going to take off. And that's exactly what we need with the offense, because it's not a rebuild year. It's a get where you need to go year. And that's all I got to say about that.
Appreciate it, man. Jeremy, you asked for analogies, and you got it.
I love that one, actually. I thought it was really good.
You got the analogy machine right there. I loved it, too.
Did you understand it, though?
Of course.
What do you mean?
I didn't know how much of a work on car guys you are. Like, I will not pretend to be a work on car guy. So I know what I mean. I know I've heard of a carburetor. I couldn't tell you what any of that analogy meant, though.
See, I'm a car guy to a certain degree.
Are you?
I'm Yeah,
when's
I can
the last
fix
time
things
you fix
on
your
my
car, Joel?
I fix my taillights all the time.
No. See, you already doubted yourself.
Why?
Taillights. You go with a screw, you undo the screw, and then you
not true.
The
depending
bulb,
on
and then you put it
Toyota,
right
Toyota, I replace the speakers.
Oh.
I was. What I'm saying is, I'm not going to do. I'm not the guy that's going to get all oil and grease and dig into the block of the engine. I mean, I can, you know, do simpler things, but I'm not going to get into that level.
No, I understand that. Like, it's probably where I'm at too. But I wouldn't call myself a car guy.
Most people wouldn't change their own taillights and floodlights and speakers and things like that. They would take it somewhere to have someone do it for them.
Taillights? The speakers, I'm with you. I wouldn't know even know where to start.
Not just the taillights, but you know, like the headlights, the ones where you have to take part of the grill off. You got to go up underneath, and it's like a multifaceted process, not just pop them out, put them in.
I hear you. I respect it. I liked Roy's analogy. And look, I understand where he's coming from, and I wouldn't be mad if it's Chip Kelly. Like, let's be very clear, I wouldn't be mad if it's Chip Kelly. The point that I'm trying to make is that the fan base wants safety. The fan base wants sizzle because a former offense coordinator sizzle, and I think they find the comfort in that. My point is that you don't know who's going to be good. Chip Kelly might have the resume, comes in next year, and he's awful. Maybe the NFL game has passed him by. We don't know. Maybe Nick Caley, who's never been a play caller, is the next Sean McVay. We don't know. So, like, my point is that we shouldn't base it based on our likability of a guy, our resume of a guy, or their resume, in that, frankly, I trust in DeMeco in hiring who he thinks is the best offensive coordinator for this team. Unless it's Brian Johnson, then I'll criticize that. But if he hires Nick Caley, cool. He must really like him and is willing to hitch his wagon to Nick Caley as an OC. Because you're right, if the offensive coordinator is not good, we might be looking at DeMeco Ryans in the hot seat in 2 years. Because what if the Texans are awful these next two seasons? They go 6-11 whenever the expectations are high. They're trying to get into a new stadium. Like, DeMeco would be on the hot seat. DeMeco knows that. Like, he knows that the NFL stands for not for long. So DeMeco is going, his butt's on the line, not ours. His butt's on the line. So DeMeco is going to hire whoever he thinks is the best offensive coordinator for this job. And my point is, if he thinks that it's an inexperienced guy who's never called plays before over a veteran who's interviewed for the job, I'm okay with it. Unless it's Brian Johnson. That's the one that I'm not okay with.
See, I just, you know, we talk about you have to trust the head coach and then trust the process. And so inevitably we have to trust that if we believe that DeMeco is the right guy for this team and this job and that he is the right head coach for the Houston Texans, then you have to believe that he as the leader of men and the guy making the decisions is going to make the right decision. But if he doesn't, that's kind of the point I was making. Like, yeah, we could take a chance on a guy that's never called plays before, and we can believe that DeMeco believes that he's going to take this offense to another level. If he doesn't, then they both could be looking for work real soon, because this, we know expectations change the minute that they turned it around a lot sooner than people thought, and that 1 year wasn't going to be enough, and that the bar was going to be raised. And now here we are, another year in, and we're like, look, this offense has got too many weapons. It's supposed to be too good to have had all the issues that it had all season long, and it can't happen again.
Here, the top offenses in the NFL this year, just go through a few of these. The Ravens had the number one offense in the NFL. They had Todd Monken. Like, he had been an OC before in the NFL, so that would be veteran. The Lions had Ben Johnson. He had not called plays prior to Detroit, so that's one for the newbie. Tampa Bay had Liam Cohen. He's kind of interesting because he was the offensive coordinator before with L.A., but he didn't call plays there. So is he a veteran? Or he called plays
in college. Plays at Kentucky, right?
He did. He made Will Levis look like a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
So, like, is that, are we counting college offensive coordinating experience or not? Like, for a veteran, for a newbie? Like, that it's kind of on the middle, right? Like,
yeah, I think it helps.
Games,
it can't
NFL
hurt.
Different.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it can't hurt. It can't help. I mean, it can't hurt from the fact of the pressure and the timing of everything and things like that. That's a good thing. But at the same time, you're right. It's a different game with different rules and a lot, you know, different way that the game goes on.
San Francisco obviously has Shanahan, but they hired him as a head coach, did have offensive coordinator experience elsewhere. So I'm not really sure where a head coach would land in this. Same thing with LaFleur in Green Bay. Atlanta's offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, who that was his first offensive coordinator play calling job, I believe. I believe he was the OC with the Rams, but was not the play caller. caller. So that's his first play-calling job. After Atlanta, you have Washington with Kingsbury. He was a retread. Philadelphia's OC, Kellen Moore, who was retread. Cincinnati's OC was their head coach. So it's kind of a weird thing again with Zach Taylor. Buffalo's offense coordinator, Joe Brady, was a retread. Arizona's offense coordinator. I don't know who Arizona's offense coordinator is. Do you?
I don't. No, but
it was Drew Petzing. Never heard of him.
But they're... No, so Steichen was the offensive
first
coordinator.
First time OC.
Yeah. So it was the DC from Philadelphia that took the Arizona
job.
Gannon. Yeah, Gannon. So then it's more important who the OC is.
Yeah, it was Petzing, first time OC. So, like, it's kind of balanced, right? Like, it's kind of even-ish, maybe slightly to the veterans over the newbie OCs. 713-780-ESPN. Chip Kelly's offense in 4 years in the NFL was middle of the pack. That's not true. It was towards the top more years than it wasn't. We went through these a couple of days ago. Somebody on Twitter, Adrian on Twitter, what makes Chip Kelly a sure thing with all his successes in college? How would you answer that, Blinkers?
Say that again. The
how do you know that Chip Kelly's a sure thing when all his successes in college?
See, but it wasn't. I mean, yes, just as an OC, but like you just mentioned, when he was in the NFL, his offenses were still very prolific and potent. They still could get the job done. I think it's two different stories. I think it was as a head coach in the NFL, if you want to grade him on that, as an offensive mind, I think that he could call football plays on both levels.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Other texters, if he chooses Brian, I'm with it 100%. I don't know why you'd be with it 100%. Also saying that the Eagles were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, said that texter. Shane Steichen was the offensive coordinator. Shane Steichen was the OC when they went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Now, of course, it's Kellen Moore. The Eagles have missed the Super Bowl one time in the last 3 years. Who was the offensive coordinator? It was Brian Johnson. I want the best offensive coordinator that's going to gel with CJ and has some history calling plays, but I want CJ to be comfortable with him. Maybe it wouldn't be Gerard because Gerard didn't have a history of calling plays. Let's see, some other text on this. Could be worse. They could be Dallas and talking to Ken Dorsey. It's true. 409 Josh, these next few years for Stroud are very important. The offensive coordinator is an investment into his future. I won't gamble with an unknown. Pay Kelly and let Stroud learn from him. Look, I think there's risk to any hire, though. Like, there's no guarantee that even the most experienced OC is going to come in here and be great. Everybody thought that Doug Peterson was going to be great in Jacksonville, and he had some years. It was awful this year. There's no guarantee Ben Johnson's going to have success in Chicago. Like, there are no guarantees in life, especially in the NFL. Like, you're exposed quickly. Like, who would have guessed that Bobby Slowick would have been fired after year two going into the offseason a year ago? Nobody.
Nobody. Yeah.
Nobody. There are no guarantees in the NFL, even if it's the surest thing. Other text on this, I think I would have just kept Bobby over the people we known have gotten an interview. None of them get me excited. That's Keith. Are there any, of the guys we know who have interviewed, which ones would you want rather than Bobby?
I think that it's probably Chip. Well, I don't think they've officially interviewed Chip Kelly.
Right. I would go with Kaylee. I mean, if we want to throw Chip into the mix because he's been a focal point of the conversation, that's cool. So Chip, Kaylee, Gerard for me. I would have them ahead of Slowick. And that's it. All the other guys.
I mean, the only reason why I would, I'm in agreement with you, and the only reason I would go with Gerard is the fact that at least he knows the system and he knows CJ and he knows D'Amico, and so there's a lot of familiarity with him, regardless of him being the OC. I still have a lot of apprehension about him never doing it before.
Fair.
So that's the way I would. Chip Kelly is front of the list for me.
Plus, Gerard's from the mean streets of Humble, Texas. He knows how to keep his head on a swivel. Like, I made fun of Binary Bobby for not having any feel during games. Like, he was good at game planning, Binary Bobby, but he had trouble adjusting. He had trouble making adjustments to the things that were being thrown at him defensively. You get a guy from the mean streets of Humble? That guy knows feel. That guy knows adjustment. Don't laugh at that, Brian. Humble's the murder capital of the United States. I'm dead serious.
Okay.
I'm serious. You think I'm making this up?
I've actually listened to multiple crime podcasts about murders in Humble, so I haven't seen that stat, but I'm not all that surprised if that is true.
It used to be
there must be a lot less people there than
I think.
Yeah,
because they're getting killed.
Okay. I'm just saying, the only one you can hang on is the fact that maybe per capita, but like bigger cities.
Well, not volume. Yeah. It is per capita. Yeah, it's per capita. It used to be Camden, New Jersey. I actually did a baseball game from Camden, New Jersey. They played Temple, and Temple used to use the ballpark in Camden for some reason. And there was a bullet hole in the baseball press box. In the visiting booth, there was a bullet hole in the middle of the glass. I was like, yeah, welcome to the murder capital of the world.
Gave you some street cred.
Well, I mean, we've already known that I have tons of that.
Wait. Is Camden? No, Camden's not the home of Little League Baseball, is it? The birthplace?
I think that's isn't that in Philly? Isn't that
No, it's in New Jersey, because I've seen the statue when we were at
Harrisburg. Is that Harrisburg, New Jersey, maybe?
No, it's real close to Secaucus, because that's we drove through Hoboken. Hoboken, New Jersey, I believe, is the birthplace of Little League Baseball. They got statues and they live on that.
It's I thought it was crazy. Williamsport. Is it not Williamsport?
Oh, that's where the World Series is, but I believe the birthplace of Little League Baseball was Hoboken, New Jersey, where
okay.
the first
I
game
trust
was played.
You.
I'm
going
to look that up.
The more you know. I trust D'Amico and Nick to get the right guy. They hired Bobby, but I get it. But I wouldn't say that was a terrible hire. We worked for 1 year, didn't work for the second. One of you guys is looking at the highest floor, and the other is looking at the highest ceiling with OC. That's probably the best way to describe it. I think
it
that's
is.
Fair.
It's very well
would
done,
be
yeah.
great. Would have been great to hire an offensive-minded head coach, not defensive head coach, with little knowledge of offense. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I wouldn't trade D'Amico for anything, but that was a criticism we had whenever they hired D'Amico, was the, especially because of the importance of the position at quarterback. Like, it's critical. Now, I still think that you can have Bill Belichick wasn't an offensive guy, and he had maybe the greatest dynasty we've ever seen in the NFL. So I don't think that it's a prerequisite, but I do think it helps. I think it is positive.
Yeah, I mean, you and I were both on the – I mean, you know, I was pretty hell-bent on the fact that I wanted – if you're going to draft a quarterback, I wanted an offensive mind to be the head coach, and regardless of what you did with an offensive coordinator, because it was so hyper-important to the success of the franchise and everything that goes with it. So, yeah, I mean, look, I think D'Amico's the right guy for the job too, but if you have a defensive-minded head coach, then you certainly, for me, need a guy that has experience on the offensive side, especially after what you've been through.
Yeah. Another text, only guarantee in the NFL, win-win, baby. They didn't even look at our Phillips. I think he's talking about maybe Wes Phillips. Brandon T, not a popular opinion, but I'm open to the idea of Nick Kelly. I'm open to the idea of Nick Kelly, too. Like, Nick and Kelly would be okay with me. My only concern with Chip Kelly is that he kind of has a history of rubbing players the wrong way. We discussed this
That's
the
true.
Other day.
Yep.
But at the same time, as a coordinator, I don't think it's as big a concern. It's still a concern, but not as big a concern. I know someone that better stay out of Humble, Texas cities. I'm from Humble. My picture's on the water tower. I don't know why they're saying I need to stay at Humble.
You climbed up there and put
it
there?
I was class of 03. I think I was on the Wikipedia page once upon a time, and then somebody deleted it. Shout out Humble, also home of the only ponchos in town. I used to raise the flag at that ponchos many a
is
time when I was younger.
Is that ponchos still around?
I think it is. I haven't been there in ages.
Yeah, I drive by there or through Humble occasionally, but I don't remember seeing it.
Yeah, it's
it might not be there.
I couldn't tell you for sure, but I mean, the texture said it's the only one still in town.
It could be. I know the area where it's supposed
it's under,
to be.
It's right on the railroad.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
right
yeah.
Across
right,
the,
right on like 1960 business
that
area. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're from Humble, but went to Atascocita?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. Atascocita came after me.
Yeah, it wasn't around.
I'm too old to have went to Atascocita. I lived about 5 minutes from Atascocita High School whenever I lived in my high school house, but it wasn't built yet. So I went to Humble. Had to drive, you know, all of those 15 miles. I got many a tickets on
through
Will Clayton.
Through the hard streets?
The hard streets. You had to keep your head on a swivel. No road rage on Will Clayton, baby. I tell you that. get you in trouble.
You can't drive past the Humble Civic Center if you don't have everything straight, man.
Been to many a weddings at the Humble Civic Center.
Yeah.
My mom had a reception at the Humble Civic Center, in fact. If you don't think a bad head coach can make a good OC, look at Kingsbury. No, I think a bad head coach can make a good OC. I think they're completely unrelated jobs. Would Sean Payton have been better than D'Amico, seeing with what he has done? Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah,
would you rather have
question.
Payton or D'Amico?
See, going in and going through the process, I didn't want Sean Payton. I thought that it might have been past his I didn't like the way he was trying to manhandle the whole process. I also didn't like the fact that you would have had to give up a first-round pick or more to get Sean Payton. But he's proven that as an offensive mind and as a head coach, he's still got plenty left in the tank.
Yeah. I forgot about the draft pick aspect of that. Yeah, I'm happy that they didn't get Peyton. Peyton rubs me the wrong way. I think he's a good ball coach, but he does rub. I don't like him. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's look at some of these free agents that are leaving the Houston Texans. Who do you want back? Who are candidates to get sacked by the Texans that are under contract? 713-780-ESPN. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, 713-780-ESPN. So, a lot of the texters, Brian, are saying that the that Ponchos is still there. We should do a roadshow for Ponchos.
I wouldn't mind that. I haven't been to Ponchos in 20-plus years.
I haven't been since I was probably 10 at the latest.
It was definitely in the 90s the last time I was there.
Let me do the math. 30. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I think I know I've seen the sign. I just wasn't aware if it's open or not.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Blankers, have you ever eaten at a Ponchos?
I don't think so.
You're missing out.
I've eaten at that La Tapatia that's supposed to be the old school hole-in-the-wall Mexican joint that has the great food.
Very different than Ponchos. Ponchos food is average at best.
Oh, really?
average is generous.
I guess the desire to eat at Ponchos is that you can eat a lot of it because it's all you can eat.
It's like a buffet thing?
Yeah, and they have the sopapillas.
Well, not a buffet. You raise the flag and they bring you more.
I've heard about it.
It's like a Brazilian steakhouse, except the food is very below average.
Is it affordable?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, cheap. It's very cheap.
Very, very cheap. And they give you sopapillas at the end. Sopapillas were my favorite part. You put the honey in the sopapillas. Oh, boy.
I'm more churro over sopapilla, but I won't turn down a good sopapilla. I would take a good churro over a good sopapilla.
But did they do that at Ponchos?
Huh?
Did they do sopapillas at Ponchos?
Yeah. Sopapillas at Ponchos. But I'm just saying, like, if I had the choice, I would go churro over sopapilla.
They're both very good. What were you saying, Blankers?
Well, my kids love churros.
Do that? Yeah, I like churros, too. Sopapillas are great, though. I haven't had a sopapilla in forever. I need to get a sopapilla in my life.
You know, I see it again on the HEB commercials. I know the HEB gets a lot of cred for their tortillas. But I've never been, like in the CJ commercial with Toro, I don't just eat tortillas by themselves. I've always found that odd, that he just popped open the bag and was like, here, Toro, all he had to do was ask. I'm like, if you're not putting anything on it, why are we eating?
Oh, that's a bad take.
I will eat tortillas by themselves.
Yeah, that's a bad take.
I do that all the time.
It's like eating bread by itself. I just don't do it.
Tortillas, greater sign bread.
My grandma would used to make homemade tortillas every single day. Every single day. And, yeah, you eat those fresh off the stove.
Now, if they're fresh and they're warm and everything, it's like, look.
Of course.
Oh, so good.
The commercial, CJ just pops the bag open and just starts like they're eating a bag of chips. I'm going, no.
Well, it's kind of the same material, just a different presentation.
Yeah.
And temperature, and I don't think it's crazy.
But if we get takeout from any of the great Tex-Mex restaurants here, I'll get some extra tortillas and use that to dip into the different salsas instead of the chips sometimes.
Room temperature out of the bag is a little odd, for sure.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, the room temperature part of it is weird. Now, you get it warm, you know. Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, like, as a kid in the Midwest, you know, we'd go on the bread tour. We get the whole field trip to see how bread is made. And at the end of it, they give you the warm, just out of the oven bread, and you're like, man, that's a different story.
Going on a bread tour might be the whitest thing I've ever heard.
Sounds very depressing. It makes me feel bad for your childhood.
We had several, not just bakeries, we had several like bread companies that were in the area. I think Mrs. Carl's was one of them. They had the Snoopy and the Charlie Brown characters on the bags and the labels. But yeah, you go on a tour to see how bread is made, and then they give you a mini loaf of bread on the way out, and you're like,
and wow, a cup of water.
Might be the whitest thing I've ever heard. My wife has found a new hobby of making sourdough bread, which is pretty tasty,
very popular.
Actually. It's very tasty. Texture raised the flag. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Paul's got a word or two about Ponchos. What's up, Paul?
Yeah, I didn't hear all your remarks about Ponchos. I just tuned in, but I'm a 55-year veteran, of ponchos. And it broke my heart when the Woodlands closed down and then the Tidwell location closed down. And they, like my college buddies and I, we would stop at the Tidwell location, have enchilada contest, and see who could eat the most enchiladas. And then whoever won the contest at the Rocket game would have to buy the drinks and everything. So the winner would usually be the loser at the game because, you know, it was, you felt so bad. But I'm telling you guys, you cannot beat their sopapilla.
So good.
They're, I mean, when you load it up on enchiladas, and you sit, I mean, you're talking about, you're sitting at a table able to raise a flag and get more food. I mean, how American can that be?
Well, it's Mexican food.
You're raising a Mexican flag, yeah.
Hey, whatever flag, if they're going to bring you more food, you know, I'll raise any flag they got. But I love their cheese enchiladas and sopapillas.
So if I'm hearing you right, Paul, your love of country is less than your love of enchiladas.
Whose is it? Appreciate the call.
Yeah, he dropped.
Yeah, I was a why we need to bring ponchos back. Is what
he's
got to
raise
like.
His flag in order to get his food.
You do. You had to
he
raise
loves it.
The two memories I had the most of ponchos is raising the flag and then the sopapillas. Like those are the things. And having an appointment with the bathroom very quickly after you leave the establishment.
Raise the flag and then when you raise something else.
Yeah. Good old ponchos, man. All right, let's get to the Texans free agents that we want to see back, that we don't want to see back. Also, who are guys to get got that are currently under roster or under contract that could be off of this roster next year? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, a word for Doc Linville and his staff. They are absolutely fantastic right here in the Med Center, and they are looking to try and find ways that they can help you. I talked to Doc about all this a while back, and a lot of people are like, you know what, Doc? You need to tell all these athletes that do all the hair transplant surgeries the wrong way, and they get that big scar across the back of their head. And Doc even said to me, he goes, all I need is a chance to get to a couple of people to realize my stuff actually works. The way we go about our business gets results, and everybody should understand. It's not about how much money he can make. He just wants people to know, especially in the Houston area, hey, he's got a solution, not just the masking of the problem like the sprays and the creams and the foam. This is an actual process that works, and he's got ways to make sure and prevent it from happening again. It's absolutely fantastic. I had a consultation with Doc and his staff, and you can too. I got mine for free, and so will you if you go to 975hair.com. Set up that first appointment. Go in for the consultation. Ask questions. Get answers. Have them explain everything to you. You don't pay a cent. If people walk in off the street and they want to get that same consultation, it's $150. Not for you. You get it for free for listening to me right now. It's fantastic. They get results. I went through the process. Literally, it was painless. It was absolutely fantastic. You see the results right away, and then in about six to eight months, you see the full-blown results, and you know it's never going away because, you know, a little sidebar here, he's taking the hair from a place where it never goes away. No matter how bald you go in other places, you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head. So he takes it from there, puts it where you need it most, and you reap the benefits by seeing the results. Tell them I sent you by. They are the best in the business, and they do great work. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texter, you can't beat tortillas and butter. You can't. So good. Ponchos didn't have churros as a texter, but gave you churros. They said they had churros, Brian.
I never said they had churros.
Oh, I thought you did. No. If you got perfect attendance at my elementary, you got a free meal at Ponchos. That sounds like a great reward.
Yeah, I think they had something like that at mine.
But if
well.
You ate ponchos Monday through Thursday for dinner, there's a good chance you're not making it to school the next morning.
Facts.
So be careful how you you schedule that. I wonder what school you went to, Texter. I went to Lakeland Elementary. You're downtown Humble, Texas. How about eating French bread at room temperature with your meal? Yeah, that's fine. French bread with room temperature with your meal?
That's no problem.
Fine with that. No problem with that. Cafe East, best Chinese buffet in Houston. Not related to this conversation. Something tells me that maybe you work at Cafe East. Slide into my DMs. El Pollo Loco Tortillas with avocado salsa is the best.
Oh, boy. You're speaking my wife's family's love language there.
El Pollo Loco?
The Pollo Loco is a staple in California. The family, that is a quick solution for eats in the wife's household.
Yeah, I like those too. That green sauce that they have at El Pollo, and maybe that is the avocado sauce. I'm not sure. I get them all and just kind of dip the chicken in. You know, it's crazy at times. Yeah, I like El Pollo Loco too. I don't think they do that well in the Houston area though. Like every El Pollo Loco is like,
well, there's one actually not business. Only what maybe a mile and a half from the station, right next to that Chick-fil-A. That one's still working.
That's but there still.
It's still up and running. But to your point, there was one near me in Kingwood, and it was there and gone within a year.
That's the last one I've eaten at.
Is that the kind of non-trust of because everybody knows El Pollo Loco in California, and like when the one they opened up down Highway 6 more towards like Mo City in that area and Siena, and my wife, we would drive, she'd go, I got to get some El Pollo Loco, let's take the girls and go there, just because of the fact that's all they knew back home.
Yeah, I like it. I haven't had it in a long time, though. It's fine. It's not bad. All right, which of these free agents do you want back? Texans free agents. Let's go needle. We'll go the needle rating here. 1 to 10. Where are they at on this? Stephon Diggs for you, Blankers.
Nah, I'm good.
1 to 10, he says.
I'm going to go.
I guess not zero.
Three.
Hey, you're low on Diggs. I'm not that high on Diggs either, but it's weird that we're both on the same page here. Am I going to four? I'll go four.
My answer is going to be four. Like, I wouldn't hate it if they brought him back as long as the deal's right, but it's not a priority for me.
Same. Now, the issue that comes into play here, and like I'm no capologist here, but I like to read Texans cap in my free time. The way they restructured his deal, if he doesn't re-sign with the Texans are going to lose some money, like some dead money. So there is incentive to work something out with Diggs so they don't lose that dead money. So like that's the hang-up that I have. Like if you didn't have the dead money, goodbye, Stephon. But because you have the dead money, signing him at $20, $25 million, whatever he gets, would be less expensive than signing another receiver at the same price. So,
right. My biggest concern is, like, when is he going to be ready to go? Like, when is he going to be full strength so you can utilize him for a full season as opposed to coming off the surgery and not knowing when he might be back?
You think he'd be ready for opening day?
I mean, he's played for seven weeks. Yeah, I would guess seven. He's back for training camp.
Before training camp?
I don't think training camp.
Well, okay, maybe not day one of training camp. By the end of training camp, I think he's practicing. Definitely he's back by week one.
See, I thought it'd be a challenge to get back by week one.
I think he plays week one.
That's a good question, though. Like, what is the ETA on his return? Because that factors it in. Like, if you're going to pay a receiver $20 million, I want one I'm expecting to be ready at the start of the season versus one that's going to come back in week three. So it depends on what they trust there. Robert Woods.
I'm good. Two.
One.
Zero.
We're 1 to 10. Come on, Brian. Follow the
zero.
Rules. Foley Fatakasi.
Seven?
Yeah, I might get an eight with Foley.
Nine.
Yeah, seven at least. Back. Yep.
He was hurt a decent amount, which frustrated me because whenever he was on the field, I thought he was a game changer in the run game.
Yeah, whenever he was on the field, he was a plus.
I want him back. Eric Murray.
Six and a half.
I'm going to get a five. If he's back, that's fine. I don't mind. Now, the money would have to make sense, but I'm at a five with Murray.
Yeah, five and a half.
Mario Edwards Jr.
Well, I'll tell you what, he surprised the hell out of me. I'll say six and a half.
Yeah, I'll go six, too. He was really, really good, but I'm not sure he's the type of player you want to pay money to. Like, it's a good find, great at the dollar figure you got him at, but do you want to be spending the money that he might get? So that's why I put him at a six.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay market value, so I guess I'll put it at six. But just from what he provides for the team, it'd be like a seven or eight.
Derek Barnett.
Four and a half.
Yeah, about a three.
Two.
Okay. Neville Hewitt.
Three.
Yeah, I'll go 3-2. Good special teams guy.
Yeah, yep. Three.
Devin White.
Zero. One.
Yeah, I'll go one.
Zero.
Dare Ogunna not work here very long.
Ogunbowale. I'll
Look
go
at you flexing.
A. He's a Badger.
Look at you
I'll
flexing.
Go,
You can't say Ogunbowale?
Six.
No, Ogunbowale. I guess I can.
A six?
I'm at a one. I don't
I
want
was
him
at
back.
A zero.
I want to get better at that spot. I want them to have a dynamic third down running back.
Well, unless I know that there's someone else that's better, I think because of his value in the passing game and the way he picks up blocks and his pass protection, you could do a lot worse. So unless you show me, and I'm not as big a believer in Damian Pierce as everybody still seems to be, but the crazy thing is, as much as everybody loves him when he gets on the field, except for one run here or there, I just don't see it. I think Ogunbowale is good enough.
How much of this is your Badger bias? Be honest.
Not at all. Not at all.
I see where you're coming from. He's good in special teams, too. But I just want to improve at that spot. I want a game-changing third-down running back. And I wouldn't mind if it's a rookie. I wouldn't mind if it's a rookie. You're at six.
I would love that. No, I would love a quality backup that isn't Damian Pierce, for sure. And if he can catch the ball, then I don't need Dare back.
Yeah, I think Damian will be back, though, because he's going to be on the final year of his rookie deal. Like, I think he'll be back. I don't want Dare to be back, though. Kendrick Green.
Oh, my God. Three.
One.
Zero.
Jerry Hughes.
Three.
One.
Zero.
Irv Smith.
Two.
One.
Two.
Jeff Okuda.
One.
Jeff Okudon't. One.
Zero.
And then the final one. I saved the best for last.
Oh, boy.
Case Keenum.
Our beloved Cougs.
Quarterback coach. Otherwise, no.
Play caller. One. OC. Give him a 10. Whatever role Case Keenum wants in the Houston Tech, 10. If he wants to be a third-string quarterback, you give him the job. He wants to be quarterback coach, you give him the job. He wants to call plays, you give him the job. If he wants to be the head coach, see you, D'Amico. Goodbye. Give him the job.
two.
Get out of here. Delete your account. You're fired. ESPN had this deal of like the top priorities for each team in the NFL. Actually, it was each playoff team in the NFL, and they had their notable unrestricted free agents. And of their unrestricted free agents, they had the top priority as Stephon Diggs. So all the names we just went through, what would be your top priority? Which guy would be the highest on your list?
Foley.
It would be Foley for me, too. They have Diggs. It would be Foley for me. Yeah, so that's interesting that we're all in agreement there. And then they had potential candidates for release, guys that are currently on the roster. Titus Howard, who we've talked about, which that one's going to be close to me because I don't think you can sign a starting caliber offensive lineman for the money you would save for getting rid of Titus Howard. I think they're going to keep him on second thought.
Because of the dead cap?
Yeah. Because you could save like $14 million if you do it after June, but is that enough to bring in a starting lineman? I don't think it is. So I don't think that the savings is going to be enough to make it worth it. The squeeze isn't worth the juice.
Especially if you have to replace potentially three interior offensive linemen also.
I think they might need to take
the savings by keeping Titus on the roster.
I think they will. Shaq Mason they have is another one, which I think we're all okay. Yeah, see you later. The final one is one that I hate. D'Nico Autry. D'Nico Autry. I don't want to lose D'Nico Autry. I think he is so good.
I'm not doing that at all.
That must be a thought.
We went through the suspension, and we saw that once he came back, you wish you had him for the full season because he's impactful, and you can see how in the various different ways that he is versatile enough to help you. I want him back for sure.
Yeah, I want him back.
This article points out the key point as I was starting to read it here. He's none of his $9 billion is guaranteed this year, so he's a complete. Hands-free, wash yourself of $9 million in cap space.
I think he's worth $9 million, though.
I agree, but, I mean, he's 34. I don't know. I could see the thinking and the logic behind it, but I thought he played well enough to earn $9 million next year.
I mean, to talk out of both sides of my mouth and just talk this through, he is a bit of a specialist for you. Like, he's not your starting defensive ends.
Right.
Now, the Texans do rotate their defensive ends a lot, so he's still playing 60% of the snaps, but he's not starting, and then he's a situational pass rusher in the middle. So is $9 million worth a third defensive end and a situational defensive tackle? Personally, I think he is.
I think he is. I would say,
I think he is also because we've always talked about how injuries happen. And as much as you want to believe, we're not going to have any significant injuries, you always do. And the last thing you can afford is one of those two guys on the edge go down. You got a guy that can just jump right in.
Yeah.
You know Will Anderson Jr. is going to have an ankle injury at some point during the year.
Easy. We don't talk about Will Anderson's weak ankles on this show. Never do we do that. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Bad Take Boulevard. What belongs on Bad Take Boulevard this week? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Celebrate over 100 years of steak perfection during the Omaha Steaks Anniversary Sale. Save 50% site-wide on USDA certified tender steaks and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code CERTIFIED at omahasteaks.com today. Don't wait. Shop the anniversary sale at omahasteaks.com to save 50% on legendary steaks and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code CERTIFIED. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.